You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for April 5th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, which is located just behind Jerry Nadler's subpoena cannon, it's the Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Fire off another one, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm having subpoena envy. So you go, boy.
Subpoena envy. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
No performance problem for Jerry Nadler. None at all.
No,
Ready, reporting for duty, ma'am.
Well, yep. You know, he's not my real husband. He's my congressional husband.
Yes.
Now.
You have a TV husband and a congressional husband.
I do. I have a TV husband. I have a congressional husband. Ali Mistel is my TV husband because he's so funny and so smart. He's on with AM Joy on weekends, and he is hilarious and smart, and I love him. And Jerry Nadler, you know, I had my Mary fuck impeach thing going with Adam Schiff as the Mary and Peter Strzok as the F word. And then, of course, you know who for the impeachment. But I've switched. Adam Schiff is still in my heart, but Jerry Nadler is my congressional husband now.
Just so you know, it's
firing off these subpoenas.
It's like being married to Daenerys Targaryen because there's all these guys. No, you're the guy who I send off to get cure from grayscale who will die to defend me. And you're my TV guy.
Lord.
And you're maybe my consort or my cousin. I'm not sure. We're going to figure that out in a couple episodes.
Gosh.
So, you know.
You guys, the number of boyfriends I've had in my life, you can count on less than one hand. So I'm very careful about who I date and who I...
No, I mean your TV husband and your.
But I do. I collect all of these.
Yes.
You know, affectionate. I have affections for people that I see that are doing good things.
Hey,
so
Charlie
that
Pierce
is true.
Liked your tweet today. So,
he liked
you know,
my tweet today, so I can die on Twitter now because.
Yeah, I got to sit on the front porch all day long with my shotgun. Just.
Yeah, the tweet that he liked was that never Trumpers get zero input on who is the Democratic nominee for president.
Yeah, see, Charlie can tweet that. I have to write an entire post about it to get any respect around my own house. Can I have some coffee? I'd love to get your coffee, honey, but Charlie Pierce just liked my tweet. So I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, I'll write a monumental post about it. It'll be epic. And 5 years from now, I can say, see, oh yeah, but didn't Rick Wilson write a whole book about that? Fuck it. Yeah.
I never read Rick Wilson's book. You sat in the bookstore and looked at the index and wrote stuff down.
I did.
You know,
I did, and I have real bad news for Anna Marie Cox. I'm gonna have to tell her. I read the additional material in his book where he said, oh, don't worry, after teasing along and just basically lying to his very good friend Anna Marie Cox about, oh, no, I'll tell you all about my voting pattern change, about how I voted in Florida, because that's the only actual offer of proof he ever made that he's not just full of shit.
Yeah.
Is that he would actually vote for Democrats. That's the important thing.
Yeah, right.
And he told her one story, and then he said, that's not really true, but it's happening really soon, and then that didn't happen, then it's going to be in a magazine, and that didn't happen. Well, it's going to be in the additional material to my book. All I can tell you is, I didn't vote straight party ticket, but everything else, it's going to be all over my new book. It's going to be additional material. No. And then I looked at the additional material in his book, and all it says is, I didn't vote straight party ticket. So that's it. That's literally one sentence. So you've been jerked around, and I know he's your friend, and I hope he continues to be your friend. You know, you don't throw friends away casually, but I don't, my offer of proof from Never Trumpers is substantially higher than most people's, except it's really simple. You stay the fuck out of my party. You admit the Republican Party's been fucked up for 30 years. And you ask me as a Democrat, how can I help undo the damage I helped do?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You confess, you atone, and we do go through three or four more steps and you're cool. But none of them want to do that. They all want to keep their job in the media, never admit that anything bad happened before Donald Trump showed up, and go right on being everyone's, you know, go-to guy. And I you know, it's weird watching this happen from the outside, and literally watching the same people who were the worst people in the world during the Iraq War, the war pimps, the rat fuckers, the people who really spent their whole life trying to destroy me and my party and my movement. Now, they're now all supposed to be my friends. I'm like, well, they haven't put their knives down. They haven't changed their voting habits. They're all saying Bernie Sanders should get the fuck out of the race and Joe Biden's your guy.
And yeah, that's what the Never Trumpers are saying. Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, I got off on a little tangent there.
But this has been fundraising week, the close of the quarter on March 31st.
Yeah.
And the misogyny and broness of the mainstream media and all white guys who are paid by media outlets to track this sort of thing, tripping over themselves. And I'm not saying anything against Pete Buttigieg raising $7 million. No. Good for him.
No.
But yeah, it's good for him. To frame it as Kamala Harris's $12 million makes Pete Buttigieg's $7 million look huge.
Yeah.
You know, like Chris Cillizza, the most Cillizic comment you could possibly make. It's makes you look awful to talk that way because we see you and we are catching you at this misogyny. It's absurd.
I kind of believe this is not the only time in Chris Liz's life he's lied to a woman about size. You know, no, it's huge, honey. It's huge. Just look, compared to this pencil and this small pile of vegetables over here, it's huge. Trust me. You can hear the clanking gears of the Beltway media machine clicking into place.
Attempting to pick a centrist-friendly, centrist-adjacent Democrat to make it not so bad that Donald Trump was president for 4 years, and we are not having it.
And the established narrative across the board, the established narrative about Bob Barr, the established narrative about Democrats in disarray, the established narrative about nobody cares about Donald Trump's this or that, the established narrative about who Trump voters really are. They're just misunderstood, salt of the earth folks out there. And all of these are bullshit.
Yep.
They're all easily debunked. They are actually debunked by people who live in the real world all the time. But there is a tiny group of people in the media who've decided, no, this is what the country I wish existed looks like. So we're just going to use our overwhelming power that owning the cameras and the microphones gives us to foist this vision of America off on you, despite the fact it has nothing to do with your lived experience. And if you ever came into our house and sat at our table, you would tell us that, which is why we're never going to let you at our house and never going to let you at our table.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I went off on a tangent.
That's all right. I'm going to go off on two other very short tangents. One is to talk just for a minute to Pete Buttigieg about and the rest of the particularly the white male candidates, because we now have a flood of white male candidates coming in to and announcing. Tim Ryan is announcing.
I filed, so just so you know,
what
I filed. me, and here's the thing: I filed under the same party as Cleva Green.
Cleva Green of the rake. Yes.
I hate my sister and I don't stand for anything party.
But you don't hate your sister.
I love my sister and there's certain things I do stand for. And I flap my jaw all the time. But the kind of what the fuck. And then he finds out, oh my God, I'm winning.
Yes, right.
Oh my God.
Right.
Anyway, you were
saying
white guys.
That, well, and who's the other one from Oregon? Hold on a minute.
They all look the same to me, honey. I don't see color.
Well, they aren't all the same, but
I don't see color. I see just contribution levels, honey.
Yeah, you know, and they're all huge.
They're all huge.
Michael Bennett of Oregon has announced that he's running. Right. And so we're going to have, I think because Biden has hesitated or looked weak, now there's these these white senators and white congressmen who are white male congressmen who are coming in to try to fill a hole or something with their hugeness. We're really getting off on that.
Isn't that what white guys do?
We're having a lot of conversation. Yeah. That's really a theme here, isn't it?
It's not really a subtext. It's the actual text of this election.
Apparently, Buttigieg has tried to make some analysis about 2016. And Joe Biden, of course, spoke before a group of trust fund or hedge fund investors about the failures of 2016 and so forth. And so I just want to give a little advice to the entire Democratic field about talking about 2016, speaking as a voter and a Democratic activist. 2016 was a trauma that we are not over yet. And it still hurts incredibly to live in a world where that election happened. Mm-hmm. The only thing, in my personal opinion, the only thing Democratic candidates should be saying about the 2016 race is this. I, candidate, should not be running for president this year. Hillary Clinton should be running for re-election this year. The 2016 election was stolen by Putin, mm-hmm. Facebook, the Republican Party that went right along with everything Trump was doing, and a complicit media, along with James Comey, who normalized mm-hmm. Donald Trump as a legitimate candidate. And that's it. That's all you need to say. Yep. And if you don't want to hear it from me, listen to Rob mm-hmm. Reiner. If you need to listen to another white guy with a microphone, he has been mm-hmm. Really good at articulating the pain of being a Democrat right now. And that mm-hmm. the Trump presidency is a cancer on our democracy that must be cut out. So
mm-hmm. like windmills, like windmills.
Yeah. We're going to get to windmills in a minute, but really mm-hmm. don't try to analyze anything that happened. No failures of the Democratic Party, nothing about, you know, how we need to speak to one voter more than another, than change our tactic. You can change your tactics all you want to. Don't talk about it. The only thing you should say about 2016 is that was a stolen election.
Yes, and Hillary Clinton should be running for re-election.
And we need to fix our elections, including eliminating the Electoral College, increasing cybersecurity, mm-hmm. regulating social media platforms, et cetera, et cetera. We need to prevent this from happening again. And also just wising up as voters. You know, we need to do that too.
No voter suppression.
And get rid of voter suppression and mail-in ballots and paper ballots and all of the things that we've talked about.
Yeah. And one mm-hmm. more thing, if I may ask, and learn from 2016. And what should you learn from 2016? That you cannot trust the media. Mm-hmm. You cannot mm-hmm. trust the media. They have established the narrative that this election is going to be, and they will wait through your 3-hour policy mm-hmm. speech that in which you speak about in excruciating detail, which will delight me, about Medicare for all and free college and green energy and everything else. They will wade through all that shit, ignore it all, and look for that one sentence mm-hmm. fragment that fits into the Democrats in disarray, Democrats infighting. Is this good for Republicans? Is this good for John McCain? And that'll be the fucking story. Just accept that in this one particular, and for all the wrong reasons, Donald Trump is right. The media is not your friend. The media is your enemy. They're not a neutral arbiter. They have a story to sell. They've already decided what it's going to be, and they're looking for your place in it. And don't be a bone in their throat. Don't let them do it. And you know what? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. There's enough Democratic candidates that if all of you decided that the first time Chuck Todd asked you an asshole question, you would turn on mm-hmm. him and ask him, what the fuck kind of question is that? What the hell is wrong with you? What in the God's name is wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with you and your whole goddamn panel? Why is this asshole over here? Why is Matthew Continetti on television at all, Chuck? Answer me that. If one or two people would just light a fire under these guys.
For that.
Because that's what
Yeah.
And because that's what they're terrified of. They know that if they step out of line, Fox News and hate radio will mm-hmm. bury them, which is why they don't do it. They just know that Democrats are nice people. They'll never shout. They'll never push back. They'll never slap me around. And you know what? If you slap Chuck Todd around a little bit on camera,
he'll love
if you make
more
him
for
a
it.
Little bit afraid, he will love you more for it. B, he'll actually make headlines. And C, put a little fear of God into him. Make him the story. Make the incompetence of the media coverage of the 2016 election the story, and put him in the frame.
Because I guarantee you, women on Twitter are going to do that anyway.
And they will love you for it.
Yep, and they will love you for it. And you will get lots of attention if you do that. Driftglass, you and I were talking this morning about why you and I will never be president of the United States.
So many reasons. So many reasons.
But one reason is, if I was president of the United States in 2020, I would call a press conference every other goddamn day. And I would, any question that was asked, no matter what it was about, I would say, well, As I was saying to Sean Hannity last night, you know, I'm going to have to ask Sean Hannity about that because, you know, he sets policy. You know, I haven't hired anyone from Fox News yet to find out if the Fed is even worth keeping. Right. I haven't put a pizza guy on the Fed yet. Just become Donald Trump for the first 5 minutes of every press conference and remind them of the dick they sucked for 4 years.
And they just, you just sat there and took, you just sat yep. there and let him slap yep. you in the face with it. And you let Sarah Sanders say, there are four oranges yeah. and get away with it time after time after time. And just, yeah, start your press conferences. They say Mexicans cause cancer.
Mexican countries. The three Mexican countries cause cancer.
Three Mexican countries are the three most prevalent causes. And prevalent's a big word. I would never use that word. It's a smarty ass word. Cause cancer. And just yep. make them eat it. Fucking make every question they ask just some dumbass random right. answer pulled out of your ass. And just for a month, make them yep. eat it. And just, well, gee, it was okay for yeah. the last 4 years. You didn't push back out. Ever. Your follow-up questions are all stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to actually drop trout and piss on you right now.
Right.
Because why not? You're not going to leave. You're dummies. You'll sit here and take it. If you dare leave, your boss will sack yeah. your ass and replace you with someone for half your pay who's half your age.
There goes your six-figure salary in your DC party circuit. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's play the game, but let's play the game with the cards up, shall we? Let's all acknowledge who we are. You're all going to have to wear placards saying, I'm the dope from NBC. I'm the suck up from CBS. If you don't wear your placard, I'm not going to answer your question, but know this. Anything you ask, it's going to be three Mexican countries cause cancer. Oranges, cancer, Mexican oranges.
This week's show is brought to you by freshly poured cat food. Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. Whether it's pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, you can be sure your cat will sit there and wait for her freshly poured cat food. Freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. Yay. All right. We're going to start today with the news roundup, which is going to include a lot of chatting and asides because it's a very long news roundup and we thought we wanted to get through it. So
it is. It's a short week and we're doing this Thursday. So please acknowledge with us that by tomorrow we might be under attack from Martians. And that's just the way things go.
We know that. And this is a decision we've made. It allows us to have some perspective on the news rather than reacting to breaking news on Friday. And that's a choice that we've made. And we know it's a fire hose, and that's what it is.
But this week, the House Democrats formally requested 6 years of Trump's personal and business taxes. And Steve Mnuchin, his loyal Treasury Secretary, said, nah, I don't think I want to do that.
And it's going to happen anyway. I mean, I do love how the Ways and Means Chairman is handling this as a regular request from the Ways and Means Committee, like we always do. Yeah. And he's not giving interviews and he's not making a big deal about it. This is standard operating procedure that the IRS must respond because the law says so. That's it.
Right.
Trump's accounting firm wants to be subpoenaed before it will comply with a request for 10 years of Trump's financial records. That is understandable. The Oversight Committee chairman said, yep, we'll do it. But that's understandable. They are protecting their reputation. They are not someone that just hands over personal investment records of a client without legal force behind that request. So I don't blame the accounting firm for doing that. That's standard procedure. But they're happy to do it, it turns out. Yes.
Slender masculine-necked Adam Schiff suggests that it is, quote, inevitable that Mueller will testify before Congress.
You have the New York Times story in here about how the Mueller people came out yesterday on Wednesday and said, what Barr was saying is all bullshit.
Yeah, that's basically what they said. I mean, this is an investigation that didn't leak once, not once. For 2 years, a little under 2 years.
Yep.
Remember, the Star report leaked every hour on the hour.
Absolutely.
It leaked grand jury testimony, which you're never, ever supposed to leak.
Yep.
And you knew it was going to leak the minute it was over. It was just that's the way the Republicans are playing it. Right. The Mueller investigation hasn't leaked at all. And apparently the Barr report, the Barr fairy tale, the Barr fortune cookie was so such a warped, through the glass, darkly view of what they actually wrote and what they actually summarized. I mean, they did take the time to summarize things so that the public could understand, that the people who've been kept their mouths shut for 2 years have said, nope, 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 nope.
Yep.
Going to have to step out into the spotlight and correct the record now, because you're being fed a line of bullshit. We don't know what's in it, but I forget who made the joke. It is like the Infinite Jest.
It's book Infinite Jest. Yes.
It's 400 pages long. No one's read it, and everyone says they have.
Yep.
So, yep.
More than half of the House Judiciary Committee's 81 targets in its obstruction of justice and corruption investigation have declined to produce documents. The deadline to produce these documents was March 18th. The White House is stonewalling.
Yeah. It comes to mind that Steve Martin bit about, I forgot to pay my taxes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, what's your excuse? This is a duly authorized oversight body requesting documents as part of an investigation. There's no reason in the world why you get to say no. The reason Nixon was saying no was that, you know, these tapes are very important. Went to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, oh, fuck no. No. That was a unanimous decision.
Yes, it was.
So this is just the White House doing, you know, they break the law every day.
They do. Let's be very clear about that. I'm not sure that they're keeping any of the documentation that they're supposed to keep.
No.
You know, are they doing any actual work? I mean, this is the thing.
They're breaking the law every day, and they're getting away with it every day because there's no enforcement mechanism, because nobody's going to send federal troops into the White House to drag these documents out. But that would be the next thing to do would be to have a show of force. You know, I don't want to see the White House turn into the Waco compound.
Right. No.
But I kind of like the idea of Boris Yeltsin on a tank in front of the White House drunkenly demanding, bring out the documents, or, you know, whatever. This is my muddled memory of the fall of the Soviet Union, mm-hmm. the rise of mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Republic. But it would be kind of cool to see tanks around the White House with their artillery pointed inward going, we're giving you 12 hours to get this shit out. Not the people. The people are going to be fine, but you got to get those documents out. And you
know, then they say, we never made any documents. I mean, this is the thing that is so maddening, is every phone call that President Obama made to a world leader as, you know, not personal phone calls to his wife, not personal phone calls to his kids. Phone calls that were made as an official capacity as president, every single one of those phone calls was transcribed and put on paper and kept for the record.
Right.
Do you think that Trump is doing that? Do you think anyone in the Trump White House is doing that? They aren't keeping. There is no person from the State Department in his meetings with Vladimir Putin.
But since he talks on an unsecure phone, I'm sure world leaders around the world have a transcript.
Yeah,
sure. We always find things out when it appears in Moscow daily newspaper.
Right, RT has all the information they need to know. Yeah. Right.
What? Who was at the White House? What were they doing? He gave them what? Donald Trump is currently in the middle of a massive walk back of his very enthusiastic support for releasing the Mueller report last week. First, he said he wouldn't bother him at all. But the report was made public. Now the story is there's no amount of testimony, document production that will satisfy Jerry Nadler or Shifty Adam Schiff. It's now time to focus exclusively on properly running our great country. Yes, let's put Watergate behind us and move on. That's what he's saying. And Sarah Sanders, of course, being a loyal little stooge, called Democrats sore losers who will never be satisfied. You know what? The first part is not true. The second part is.
Uh-huh.
We actually whipped your ass pretty thoroughly at the midterms. We're going to whip your ass in 2020. And you're right. We're never going to be satisfied until every one of you fuckers is called to account. You're absolutely right about that. That is true.
And Trump is also in the middle of a huge walk back of his threat to close the southwestern border over the increasing number of asylum seekers crossing into the United States, saying, we're going to see what happens over the next few days. He's now given Mexico a 1 year deadline.
Right.
Into the middle of spring 2020, when he and everyone else will have forgotten. Yeah, he is making all these threats, which sound good to him at the nanosecond that he thinks them.
Right.
And then Mitch McConnell's calling him and saying, we can't run on that.
He's giving Mexico 1 year to vote on healthcare. 1 year.
1 year.
1 year to
for
vote
great healthcare.
On Orange. The cure.
They have universal coverage in Mexico.
Cure windmill cancer. We're going to cure that windmill cancer with oranges, and Mexico is going to pay for your oranges.
The oranges.
And because that muddled bullshit is actually what goes on inside this demented old man's brain every day. Yep. It just comes bubbling out of his mouth. And for most of the country, it's terrifying. And for the Republican, racist, white, old assholes who are living for the day when the Confederacy rises again. They love everything.
They don't hear it. If he's walking back something, they don't hear about it because Sean Hannity doesn't tell them. All right.
The House Intelligence Committee is going to go after documents from Trump's inaugural committee, talking about how they raised and spent $107 million, you know, like twice as much as Obama did. And they had that shitty tractor pull and a bunch of banjo and jug bands playing. And where did the rest of that money go? For example, his inaugural committee paid nearly $26 million to an event planning firm, which was invented out of thin air by Melania's advisor and longtime friend, Stephanie Winston Wolkoff. The firm was created 45 days before the inauguration.
Healthcare. Time to talk about healthcare. Trump abandoned his plans to dismantle the Affordable Care Act a week after announcing that his administration agreed with a judge's ruling that the entire health care law should be eliminated.
Is that another walk back, Blue Gal?
Uh-huh. And Trump claimed that he was never planning a vote prior to the 2020 election on a replacement to the Affordable Care Act, despite claiming a year ago they would unveil an awesome plan in just 4 weeks, and then blaming the Republican Congress for misleading him. And claiming just last week that the effort was already moving forward, he said he had 4 or 5 senators working on it. No one could find any of the 4 or 5 senators that are working on the replacement for Obamacare, that imaginary replacement for Obamacare, which is going to be terrific. It's going to be low cost. It's going to cover everybody.
Everybody,
I mean,
everyone.
He's been saying this since 2015. This is, you know, Obamacare's terrible and we're going to fix everything.
No pre-existing. Yeah. I hate pre-existing. I love lakes. They're very deep and wet. I hate pre-existing. No pre-existing. What was I talking about? Oh, that's right. And again, this is another huge walk back. I believe walk backing is a covered precondition under Obamacare.
Well, and what I found interesting is how Mitch McConnell, in this particular case, Mitch McConnell did deliberately throw him under the bus in front of cameras.
And, he had no choice.
Exactly. Yeah. But he said, I'm looking forward to seeing what the president and Nancy Pelosi come up with. Now, if that's not a diss, I don't know what is. But yeah, he had no choice. Otherwise, his caucus is going to have to run on Donald Trump's imaginary health care plan. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Democrats are going to make him run on it anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
But the upshot is Mitch McConnell will put up with any amount, any tonnage of toxic, treasonous bullshit from the monster in the White House, because Mitch McConnell is an evil fucking human being right down to his shoe tops, except if some of the splashback from that evil, toxic bullshit makes Mitch McConnell look bad.
Or hurts his job as chairman. Right?
That's too much.
He doesn't want to lose majority leader status. Right.
No. We've already talked about windmills causing cancer. They don't, just so you know. That's pretty clear. The science is since Da Vinci's time.
Wilbur Ross declined a second invitation to testify about Trump's budget request. It's called Learning the Betsy DeVos Lesson. Yeah. Claiming that his scheduled appearance before a House Appropriations Subcommittee would be a distraction from the budget discussion. What is his job again?
He's very busy, Blue Gal. I'm very busy. I'm going to the Dried Apple Festival. I'm entered as a dried apple. I'll be available in October. And then he falls asleep in his pudding, and a small staff of eunuchs carry him away and tuck him in for a week of naps. That's what he does. And then he gets up and starts talking about how the poors have plenty of money, and anyone can just take out a loan to buy milk.
Why are they going to homeless shelters? Right.
But he is just one of an entire constellation of people who you have not seen at the head of a major national power since the final days of the Third Reich.
It really is that bad. It's a bunch of Fox News hacks.
It's
absolutely
perverts and thieves and liars and looters and lunatics.
And multimillionaires.
And multimillionaires and just fucking assholes. There's no decent person in the Trump White House anywhere. They're all scum. And this is like a unique opportunity to study what happens if Republicans get everything they've ever wished for. Wilbur mm-hmm. Ross and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell is their dream come true. And that's why I'm looping back a little bit. I'm happy to listen to any Never Trumper say anything they want. But at the end of the sentence, I want to hear you explain to me how your party got this way and when you think the problem started. Because if you sit there and lie to me about that, you will lie to me about anything else. And I'm sorry that you're embarrassed that your party is a racist dung heap. But as I recall, you spent most of your career shitting on people like me. And that didn't bother you.
Well, and let's be clear, too. They spent their time shitting on people like you mm-hmm. while hoarding huge paychecks.
Yes.
To run campaigns to get people elected.
The worst people in the world, right.
Right, right. And the payday for that is so huge. We talk about this fundraising that's going on. And Kamala Harris raised $12 million. That's great. Bernie Sanders raised $18 million. That's great. Pete Buttigieg, $7 million. Huge, huge. Okay. They're raising millions of dollars, and many of them are raising millions of dollars in small donations, under 50 bucks. Right. That is a sign that the Democratic base is very, very energized and willing to put their money where their mouth is when it comes to deposing the cancer that is in the White House right now.
Yeah.
People on the right should be scared of that. Mm-hmm. That is energy. Money is energy in that regard. But where does that money go? It goes to ad buys. The ad buys are selected and purchased and negotiated by people who make $200,000 a month for 6 months.
Right. Yes.
You know, that's what they and turning down that money is not going to happen if you can get it. It is your work if you're running campaigns. So these Never Trumpers who are trying to straddle two horses at once of criticizing their party and still being open to working to get a Republican in office, they're doing it for the check.
There's Steve Schmitting, it's now called Schmitting.
They're Schmitting, uh-huh. Yeah. Schmitting all over the democracy is what they're doing. I haven't heard from him in a while.
Well, he's busy.
Since he ran off his own podcast. Yeah.
He's busy giving Howard Schultz all that good advice that's bringing him up uh-huh. to 0.0001% uh-huh. in the polls. So
Howard Schultz was on Fox and Friends this week, Driftglass.
I'm sure he was. I'm sure I missed it. There's a whole bunch of things in this world I miss. I don't miss them, but they go sliding right past me. Mitch McConnell this week triggered the nuclear option to unilaterally reduce debate time on most of Trump's nominees. Democrats, in turn, charged McConnell with hypocrisy. Mitch McConnell then laughed and laughed and ate a baby.
Yes, he did. Because he doesn't give a rat's ass. And I liked what you said this week. I said, oh, my God, he's going to hell. And you said,
No,
he's not going to hell. He's not working to go to hell.
No, he's going to Confederate heaven.
Confederate heaven. Yeah.
When Mitch McConnell gets to the afterlife, he's expecting Nathan Bedford Forrest to be there and slap him on the back and welcome him into Confederate heaven. He's a monster. He's a fucking monster.
There's a story to be written of Mitch McConnell getting into Confederate heaven and finding out he's black.
Yeah, well,
you know,
that's the thing. I'll leave that to Jordan Peele.
He's a slave. Yes, that is a Jordan Peele movie ready to be made. No,
just a Twilight Zone episode. That's 30 minutes
in
and out.
That'd be good. Yep. It'd be great. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden's trying to get his feet under him. I have nothing more to say about that.
I don't either. Good luck, Joe. You know, whoever the let me repeat the standard issue thing you're going to hear from us for the next year. We will unstintingly support the Democratic nominee for president, whoever it is, wherever they came from, whoever the nominee is. We're going to get out and knock doors for him or her and put our heart and soul into it, period, full stop. And if I may repeat Blue Gal's wisdom, all I want to hear from any Democratic nominee is that I shouldn't be running now. Hillary Clinton should be running for re-election. Her election was stolen from her, and we need to get the people who stole that election the hell out of our White House.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's the only relitigation of 2016 that needs to happen, period. You don't need to say anything else.
Donald Trump blamed Puerto Rico for being a mess and called his politicians incompetent or corrupt because I have a feeling someone tackled him before he got into more, I don't know, derogatory racial slurs mm-hmm. that were on the tip mm-hmm. of his tongue, because mm-hmm. they always are. This is also the week where Trump announced that he wants to get rid of judges.
He wants to get rid of judges,
yeah.
Driftglass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. It sounds a lot like a soccer stadium kind of solution to his problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he dreams about that, but that's what Republicans want. They would like the people who disagree with them to be eliminated because it's inconvenient to have us around reminding them that they are, in fact, the real problem.
Senior Trump administration officials overturned and granted at least 25 security clearances, including two current senior White House officials, to people who were initially denied by career employees for serious disqualifying issues mm-hmm. in their backgrounds. And one of them was Jared Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
The House Oversight and Reform Committee voted to subpoena the former White House personnel security director accused of overturning security clearances.
Yeah.
And the woman who was the whistleblower on this was treated like shit.
Mm-hmm.
She suffers from a rare form of dwarfism. And she is has been discriminated against. She has been let go, suspended without pay for stupid shit that is clearly not the reason she's being suspended. And they have actually tried to move files that she needs to work out of her reach.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, breaking all kinds of laws.
Yeah. They don't care.
So they don't care. They don't care.
The Department of Homeland Security, you may have heard of them, disbanded its domestic terrorism unit last year, saying that the threat of, quote, homegrown violent extremism and domestic terrorism, including the threat from white supremacists, has been significantly reduced. That is fucking opposite land. That yep. is pure Orwell. That is ignorance is strength. War is peace. No, it's way, way up, and it's way, way up because the terrorist in chief is a guy named Donald Trump.
Trump called the 2020 census meaningless if it doesn't include a citizenship question.
Yeah.
Two federal judges have already ruled against that. And it's amazing. He also said on Twitter, of course, that the leftist mob and everyone pointed to John Adams and Thomas yeah. Jefferson and the founding fathers said, really? Because they're yeah. the ones that put this in the Constitution. Trump cut hundreds of millions of dollars in foreign assistance programs for Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Fox and Friends Sunday described Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras as three Mexican countries in their chyron.
A federal judge declared that Donald Trump's order to open oil and gas drilling in the Arctic and the Atlantic Oceans is illegal.
Illegal. Thank you.
And this is why Mitch McConnell wants all of those judges gotten rid of and replaced by young sociopath conservatives mm-hmm. who will plunder everything, loot everything, take every one of your rights away from you, outlaw abortion, cut every regulation, cut taxes and for everyone.
And ignore your need for clean air and clean water. Yeah,
that's yep. the plan. The plan is to reduce this planet to an uninhabitable shithole with a few habitable zones that are being run by
multi-billionaire
oligarchs yep. who are friends of Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. More than 750,000 people would likely lose their food stamps under a new proposal by the Trump administration to encourage able-bodied adults to get a job. They are still going with these stupid work requirements.
Yeah.
And one woman who does not have internet access because she is too poor was sent 15 letters by the state of Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
15 snail mail letters asking her to register online mm-hmm. for her Medicaid benefits. And she's too poor to have internet at her house. It is creating a bureaucracy to punish poor people. That's what all of these work requirements are.
Donald Trump has made at least 9,451 false or misleading statements, claims, since taking office. He's making roughly 21 false claims or misleading claims a day, up from his average of nearly 5.9 during his first year in office. Three of those misleading claims are Donald Trump claiming for the third time that his father was born in Germany. His father was born in New York City. Donald Trump is out of his fucking mind. I'm not sure if he's completely insane. I kind of think he is. Or he just likes fucking with his base.
Well, and the idea that he would be confused about the birthplace of his father and then spend time insisting that he must question the birthplace of Barack Obama.
Yeah. Well, this is part of his, you know, slow collapse of right in front of everyone. And this is really going to be studied for, you know, the next 100 years, that
yeah,
what was wrong with this country that this clearly demented, racist, dangerous scumbag
reality TV star was
allowed to continue yeah. when it was patently obvious to everyone. And who were these sycophants on a couch who said, "We love you, Mr. President"? Why weren't these people locked up? Why weren't these people driven from office? Why wasn't the righteous wrath of the American people brought down on these assholes like they should have been? And the answer is, well, there's no money in that.
Yeah.
It's not profitable. It's watching the country burn. That's profitable, man. It's the other thing. It's actually the slow, boring work of democracy that doesn't add to the bottom line of media companies.
The National Rifle Association opposed an expansion of the Violence Against Women Act, which seeks to block people who have committed domestic abuse from obtaining firearms, because that is a huge red flag for mass shootings and violence using guns.
Mm-hmm.
And Deborah Dingell,
yeah,
who is a member of the House, she is sitting in for her late husband, John Dingell, was shouted down by Republican males attempting to argue for this legislation. And by the way, the legislation did pass this afternoon,
mm-hmm.
past the House. She stood up and said, do not be intimidated by the NRA. And we can't be intimidated because women are getting shot.
Right.
And that is what's happening. All right.
You want to do Stephen Moore?
You do Stephen Moore, please.
All right. Stephen Moore, who's Donald Trump's unqualified crackpot nominee for a seat on the Federal Reserve, currently owes more than $75,000 in taxes and other penalties. Stephen Moore, being a tough guy, referred all questions about the tax debt to his wife, because hiding behind your wife is what Republicans do. Donald Trump's other nominee is famous Uzbeki-Beki-Beki-Stan pizza guy Herman Cain. This is to run the Federal Reserve, to monumentally unqualified crackpots who will undoubtedly end up with their fingers on the pulse of the American money supply.
And now we're going to talk about local elections.
Yes, we are.
Elections in the state of Illinois.
Yep.
A fun fact, socialists now outnumber Republicans in the Chicago City Council. That's not hard to do.
This is true.
But it's true.
Yeah. I thought that's hilarious. That is freaking hilarious. And this is my old stomping ground. This is where I used to, I used to tread these boards. The biggest surprise was that longtime 40th Ward Alderman Pat O'Connor lost to community activist and Democratic socialist Andre Vasquez. Alderman O'Connor has been in office since 1983 and serves as Rahm Emanuel's floor leader on the council.
Wow.
Yeah.
As of right now, Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez holds a tiny lead over incumbent Deb Mell. The race is still too close to call, with the final decision resting on uncounted mail-in ballots. Mell's family has held the 33rd Ward seat since 1975.
Yep.
And the paterfamilias Dick Mell is a disgraced former governor Rob Blagojevich's father-in-law.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of historical corruption in that family tree.
It's dynastic. It really is dynastic politics.
The family has owned that seat since 1975. And this whole Chicago election was turning out that machine and putting fresh faces in there. Yeah.
Well, and in that regard, in the 30th Ward, Jessica Gutierrez, who's the daughter of former U.S. Representative Louis Gutierrez, lost in an effort to continue their family's political dynasty.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest forget about it, it's Chicago outcome, was that alderman and possible future federal inmate Ed Burke, who the FBI searched his office and then a few days later went back and searched it again. he was reelected. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And the big news is that the mayor-elect of Chicago is Lori Elaine Lightfoot, who's African-American and a woman and an LGBTQ person.
Right.
And that is, I have no idea what kind of mayor she's going to be. I have to hope for the best.
I am really praying for her because it's Chicago, man. You know, I'm always worried. But her heart seems in a very good place, and there's a lot of good people behind her. And I know Chicago's broke, like every other major American city. There's a lot going on that it's going to be very hard to fix. But I'm behind her on this one, and hopefully she can make a difference.
Yeah. And there's something to be learned from the mayor, the term of Harold Washington. And I learned a lot. I was there when Harold was mayor, and I was there when Daley died, and it was all very dark and weird, and the reelection was just ugly and terrifying. Washington's election, the idea that more than half the city council broke with the ranks of the Democratic Party and nominated a guy named Bernie Epton, and the slogan was Bernie Epton before it's too late. Mm-hmm, and it was all these films of like a mob of angry voters, and because the black guy's coming, and if the black guy gets here, we're all going to die. You know, they're going to rip the city to pieces. Here's the thing. Harold Washington, before he was elected, was a good machine politician. He was a part of the system. He got along to get along. And he did his bit. I mean, he served his constituents well, but he was not a figure of historical importance until history opened up and let him assume a seat that was big and important and had a big spotlight on it. And that's when he rose to the occasion. And that's what happens in Chicago politics. If you want, believe me when I tell you, if you want to succeed in politics, for the most part, you have to understand how the machinery of politics works. You have to play within the system for the most part. You have to do your homework. Tony Preckwinkle, who was the other candidate for mayor for the city of Chicago, who would have been also an African-American woman.
The first African-American woman mayor. Yeah.
She, as an alder.
That race was historic.
It was.
Two African-American women were running against each other, both Democrats. Regardless of who won, and it wasn't Tory Pinkwinkle, it was Lightfoot. But we now have an African-American woman as mayor of Chicago. And that's the first time that's happened. Yeah.
And Toni Preckwinkle, I knew her and worked with her briefly, just a little bit. I've been to her office a few times. I worked with her when I was, you know, at the city. And she always had her shit together. Mm-hmm. She was the most well-prepared alderman of every alderman out there. There's 50 aldermen. She always had her shit together. She always knew her budget numbers. She always knew what her constituents needed. She served her public well. She could be a pain in the ass. She was one of the people that threw an elbow at Barack Obama when he was trying to get ahead in Chicago politics. So, you know, there are no pure heroes in this narrative. Mm-hmm. But she really had her shit together. And then she became Cook County Board Chair. She had to get elected within the system.
Yep.
There was no way that Tony Preckwinkle was going to come soaring in from some, you know, as a pizza magnate or as a reality film star and become mayor of Chicago. That just was never going to happen. So I have great faith in people's ability to rise to the occasion. And Ms. Lightfoot's been given an amazing opportunity. And I really do wish her nothing but the best because I love Chicago. And I wish that beautiful city just north of us all the best.
Right. Let's go back to our notes and the talking about stuff, and particularly, let's talk about the two really bad tweets that came out
today.
Chris Stewart's was yesterday afternoon, but within the past 24 hours, these tweets have come out.
Yeah,
you want to read Catty K's tweet?
Catty K, BBC's own Catty K, who's on the Morning Joe show, and she's in there to lend a little British flair to it. She speaks the British accent, and she's been on American television forever. It's like Mick Jagger, dude. You've been on the country 50 years. Lose the accent, okay? You don't need to talk that way anymore. But Catty K's take, the hot take on the upcoming election,
and the Mueller report,
The Mueller report. That's the important part. Yeah, the Mueller report and the risk for Dems is that the public narrative has already been formed, and they look like sore losers in keeping the story going.
Keeping the Mueller story going.
Because first of all, taking Sarah Sanders' own talking points, sore loser, and making that part of your story. Secondly, do you have some sort of magic romper room mirror that lets you see the public and understand what's happening with the public and the public narrative? Because in my experience, when pundits say the public, they mean the imaginary puppets in their head that they wish was the public that thought just like them. So Catty K is sitting there with no fucking idea how this country works at all, deciding that, you know, the big risk for the Dems is that the public narrative may have already solidified. And then they're going to look like you don't know anything.
Well, she's not even looking at the polls. I mean, one of the things that infuriates me about Morning Joe and shows like it is their usual obsession with polls, right?
Yes.
Looking at poll numbers, we see this, we see that. If she had looked at the polls, she would know that the majority of Republicans want the Mueller report, the actual report, to be released. So this is really just her masturbating. That's all it is.
Yes. Well, and it's the narrative. It's that we have to find Democrats are fucking up. Democrats in disarray. Yeah. They have to be screwing up somehow. They have to be walking around with one foot in a bucket.
Right.
And that's the only story we're going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk about policy at all. We have to find a way to make this about how Democrats are really screwing up badly.
Yeah.
And this is my little contribution to that giant toxic narrative. Because if I don't toss in put my money on the table, toss my chips in, I'm out of the game.
Right.
This is the only game that will let me play and let me make the kind of money I want to make. So Sure. The problem is Democrats, the public narrative, yada, yada. Mike Barnicle, over to you.
Yeah. The other tweet is from Representative Chris Stewart in the House minority saying, just received approval from the House for the formation of the Anti-Socialism Caucus.
Yeah.
This caucus will defend individual liberty and free markets and highlight the dark history of socialism.
Yeah.
Well, that tweet got about 3,000 replies, most of which saying, we hope you're also going to highlight the dark history of capitalism, like slavery, and why are people rationing their insulin and dying in America? What I loved about this tweet, you know, and forming this anti-socialism caucus, I wonder what the gender and race of the of all of the members of the anti-socialism caucus is going to be.
Yeah.
While they're forming this anti-socialism caucus among the Republican minority, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is waltzing through the halls of Congress with the Queer Eye guys.
Yeah.
And Instagramming the whole thing.
Yeah.
They do not know what they are up against.
No.
They really don't.
No.
And AOC had a lot to say this week about the last 30 years. And you wanted to talk about that. I think it's, what she's saying is really, really important.
Well, I do want to say that the two other proposed ideas for the name of this caucus were the No Girls Caucus and the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Yeah.
Because what the fuck, why not go
away? A lot of people said that too.
Angie's, well, wasn't the fucking Tea Party, the fucking teabaggers, the idiots who...
They're
not freedom enough. They're not freedomy enough. We need another caucus that's even more free.
An anti-socialism caucus because girls, you know.
No, girls are icky girls. Who's that girl with all the gay men? And that's the person who's going to eat your lunch and leave you looking like an idiot. That's the person who's going to cost you your job.
No one under 30 will ever pay any attention to you, ever. Yes. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said, I'm sorry that this is going to cost so much to fix climate change.
Right.
I'm sorry that for the last 30 years we have known this was a problem and did absolutely nothing about it. And now it's really going to cost us.
Yeah.
And you want to take that template and apply it to every problem we have. Healthcare, education, roads. We've known all along for 30 years.
Right.
We've known since Reagan that all of these things were a problem. And we decided... The government and the media conglomeration decided, no, we're going to let corporations run everything and hoard wealth.
Right.
That's what we're going to do. The stories that have come out about Rupert Murdoch and his family week, and noticing the billions, with a B, dollars that they made from the Disney merger. Yeah. And it was $2 billion for each of the sons and $4 billion for Rupert. This is what our wealth in this country is going to, is but media mergers.
Isn't he dating Mick Jagger's ex-wife?
He's married to Mick Jagger's ex-wife.
Yeah. There's a pass-around group of women at that level. Problem is these people have money.
Yeah.
If you stripped the wealth from Rupert Murdoch and Sheldon Adelson and the rest of these just parasites who are wrecking the planet, you could put up cancer-causing wind turbines everywhere. You could pay.
Put everybody to college. Yeah. Make sure everyone has their insulin. All of it. Yeah.
And here's the thing: it's not plundering to give someone a present. It is taking money that is going to wreck the country. This is money that has been regulated and taxed and siphoned upward to create a hammer to destroy this country, to plunder it for more wealth. This is a reciprocating engine designed to wreck the country. We're not talking about taking that money and handing a little box of it to every person in America and say, here, go do stuff. We're talking about investing, doing exactly what the country used to do, investing in our people, investing in our roads, investing in an energy system, investing in the health of the people of this country, investing in their education so that 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, those investments will have created vastly more wealth than you invested in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the system works. And that system is broken, not beyond repair, because there are still people old enough to remember how it used to be. Now, it used to be pretty bad because women were excluded, minorities were excluded, all those things were bad about the system. But the idea of labor being first, of investing in your people first, that is where the great wealth of tomorrow is going to come from, is something that Ms. Cortez has captured perfectly. Because all of our problems are because you decided you weren't going to do shit about it for 30 years, and now it's going to cost a lot. You're right. Well, too bad. A, spend the money building a time machine and go back and bitch slap Ronald Reagan, or B, fix it, because it's going to break. It's breaking now. It's already broken. And the idea that, well, no, what we need is another Freedom Caucus that doesn't have girls in it, is just like, no, people who think that need to be walled off from the rest of us, that unhealthy, sick little minority is eventually going to go the way of the dinosaurs. They're going to die off. But power needs to be pried out of their hands now, because they're doing too much permanent damage to this country to let it go on. And that's why we have elections. Uh-oh.
Hold on a minute. Somebody's coming in. Hello. We're Hi. Almost finished with podcast.
Okay, so. I just came home. I know, but I don't know.
That's okay. You wanted to be where?
I wanted to be.
Beat Rush Hour.
Wow. That's
a good idea.
Sounds like a bitter urbanite.
Well, you know, Rush Hour in Springfield lasts five whole minutes.
Okay,
it's at 4:45. It is not as bad as some other places I've lived.
Street. I just don't like driving down Sixth Street.
Well, that's true. It's pretty bad. Sixth Street is pretty bad in rush hour.
Yes, cry me a river. Cry me a freaking river.
Yeah.
And parking.
Yeah. We're going to put you on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago.
Parking? It's quarter for an hour. I mean, have you heard? Yeah. Okay. Fine. That's great. That's great.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Mouser. M-A-O-S-E-R, a five-year-old Himalayan who likes to sit on the back of his human's chair and watch the owner surf the internet and listen to podcasts. Yeah, well, that's called supervising.
That's right.
We have supervisors here in this house, too. That's supervising. You should visit Mouser at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based ice or hot beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. And $5 does make a difference. We want you to know that. If you've never donated, we don't keep your name or put your name in a database or sell your name and address information to anybody. We just thank you, and that's it. And it makes a difference to get a $5 donation from you. Specifically, I'm talking to you. So if you go out and buy a gourmet coffee for yourself, please buy one for us. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal, postal address, buy me a coffee, all of those things are there, including merch. We have Both Sides Don't Merch and Pro Left Podcast and DGBG merch, all there at proleftpod.com.
And believe me, that in the coming year, your Both Sides Don't t-shirt will be the talk of the town.
Oh my gosh, it sure will. That Both Sides Don't bumper sticker will get cold stares.
It's coming on strong. I tell you, it's resurgent, and it's ugly, and you should get merch to hold it at bay.
Yeah, yeah, just to point out to people, Both Sides Don't. Please share our show on social media, and thank you so much. It tickles me so much to see that happening on social media, that you're talking about the show when someone asks on Twitter what are good podcasts. People are saying, Professional Left is really great, and we appreciate that so much.
You hear what they say about us on the Twitter, honey? We're on the Twitter.
Oh, we're mentioned on the Twitter again. Oh, yay. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Oh, look, y'all, the internet kitties that formed the Kick Catty K Out of the Cat Club caucus.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.